Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
The statistics that I've seen is that 70% of the people that read reviews trust them as much as a recommendation from a friend. If you're looking at for a business and you have no reviews, that means you're probably going to be 70% more likely to choose the business that has reviews than the one that doesn't.
Hi, this is Henneka. I'm so glad you took the time to stop by today. In Jamaican parlance, Wagwan. Me glad to say a dial. This episode is sponsored by HennekaWatkusPorter.com as well as the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Now, on HennekaWatkusPorter.com, you can visit us for blogs, resources, books, online podcast courses, podcasts, and more. If you are new to the Entrepreneurial You podcast, be sure to check out past episodes with guests such as John Lee Dumas, Patrice Washington, Seth Godin, Richard Branson, Amy Porterfield, and a host of other game changers.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
And now, here's today's episode. Nothing ruins your day more than getting a bad review. Taylor Swift. Hey, my peak performers, how are you doing today? Welcome to episode 173 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I'm Henneka Watkus Porter. Today's episode is with George Wardman. And George is a founder of five companies, three exits, and still running two. He's still running two of those companies. He's the founder of OneStopDevShop.io, software and design agency, and online reputation management software, Rave Review. I'm looking forward to our conversation on leveraging reviews to grow your business. Welcome, George.
Hi, how are you, Henneka? Excited to be on the show.
So glad to have you as well. I'm doing great. So based on your reaction with any Jamaicans, if you've had, what's the one thing that stands out for you if you've had any interaction with any Jamaicans?
Well, they're lovely people. I'm a big fan of the reggae music. So, everything about the Caribbean I like.
Oh, that's nice to know. All right, let's talk about leveraging reviews to grow your business. When we talk about reviews, what are we talking about really?
So reviews mostly is like on Facebook or Google. It could be Amazon reviews. But the ones that we find most important for, say, like a small B&B or hotel like in Jamaica, they might be concerned with their reviews. And that's what we help them with, is just sort of the biggest problem that we found is that it seems like most of the most people that want to leave reviews are the ones that had an experience, bad experience. And so, of course, that's damaging to the business's business when you have a bad review and it just sort of lingers around on the review page.
Mm-hmm. So how important or why are reviews important for a business?
Well, reviews are really the best way people can get an objective opinion on a business. So, for example, if you're sitting in somewhere in Europe or in the US and you wanted to go down to visit a hotel in the Caribbean, You might just look around, and there's, you know, let's say you're going to Negril or something, and there's 15 hotels around, but you don't really know which one is the best. Reviews is the first place that I would go, and you're probably like me. You would go and look, and just to see and read a few. The first thing I look at is like, who's got the most reviews, and who's got the highest average. And then I would kind of go down from there. I mean, I don't necessarily need to stay at the one that has the most reviews and the best average, but I certainly don't want to stay at one that has like, you know, a 3.5 average. That's to me, like anything kind of below 4.1 is like, I would never go there, you know, especially if there's other options.
Right. So what kind of businesses, you know, mainly should be relying on reviews to help, you know, grow their business?
Really, I mean, they help almost all businesses, especially small businesses, but hotels especially. We're currently doing it for music teachers. So that's an area that we found has been being underserved. But you can imagine, like, there's music teachers in every town. So we help music teachers focus on sort of differentiating between their peers or competitors in a certain town. And but it really, you know, it could be anything. It's important for salons and yoga studios and car dealers, you know, even lawyers and you know, the plastic surgeries. I mean, all it's important for almost every business.
Do you have any statistics of hand to say, you know, to compare those businesses that don't solicit reviews versus those that do, and kind of what's the difference?
So the statistics that I've seen is that 70% of the people that read reviews trust them as much as a recommendation from a friend. So if you're looking at for a business, and you have no reviews, that means you're probably going to be 70% more likely to choose the business that has reviews than the one that doesn't.
How does one go about getting a review? Because I mean, some people are very bashful, even as entrepreneurs, bashful about asking for reviews, or, you know, how do you go about, what are some of the best practices in going about getting reviews?
Well, the biggest thing really is asking for them. So the process that we use, and you can even sort of try and do this yourself, but it's important to get an email. So if you're like a hair salon or something, try and get the emails of the people. And the same goes if you're like a hotel or you know, any type of other business. If you can get the email, then you can at least ask them. And so what we've done is we automate by sending a short survey. So for example, we ask two questions. How likely are you to recommend, and how was your experience? And we ask them to, you know, I'm sure you've seen it, but it's basically stars 1 through 5. And the ones that are 4 and 5 in this survey, we go on to ask them to leave a number of reviews, leave a review on Facebook or Google. And if there's 1 through 3, then we ask them to we send that notification right to the front desk manager, to the person who's ever in charge of customer service, to make sure that they contact the customer so that they can stop them from leaving a negative review. And so that's what we do to mitigate. But essentially, if you were trying to do this yourself, the biggest thing is really just talking to your customers, asking how is your experience and how likely would you be to recommend. Those two questions we've found are the key. And you know, you sometimes see like people leave these huge paper surveys in the lobby of a hotel, and we found much higher take up if you only ask those two questions, because those are the ones that really matter, right?
So you have reviews, of course, and they can be negative or they can be positive. Let's start with the negative ones. How do you respond, and how, you know, best practices in terms of responding to a review that isn't so positive and putting the business in a bad light?
So the first thing that we recommend is that you not, if you read a bad review, we recommend that you take 24 hours to respond. And that's sort of just, you know, sort of take the heat of the moment out, so you don't come in and sort of, I remember this customer and they were such a pain. So if you wait 24 hours, you can kind of think about it and you can respond more cool-headed, because once you leave that response, it doesn't go away. It's, and then you could start a whole thread there and it could snowball and become a lot worse. And I've seen some responses of people, of business owners responding to a less than flattering review, and basically it goes viral and puts that business owner out of business. So the thing is, the main thing is to be cordial and to be polite, and just go through and even maybe think about what your counter argument is. And at times, we've had some clients that have been able to reverse the bad review, and they respond, and maybe they reach out to them offline and take care of it, the situation, and the person will come back and actually change that the 1-star review to a 5-star review. We see that actually all the time, especially in Amazon.
You're talking about changing a review and stuff. I mean, but if that's how somebody feels, that's how they feel. So is that ethical? Is that,
No, you can't change it. The customer has to change it. Mm-hmm. But you can convince persuade the customer to change it. So
right, that's what I mean, the customer changing it. Even having the customer changing. I mean, if that's what they feel, how they feel initially based on how they were treated, right, or their experience, it is what it is, wouldn't you say? Or what could have caused them to change their mind? Well, no, because
there could have been like a miscommunication. So for example, something may have happened. Let's say, oh, I couldn't believe it. I came in this night and nobody was at the front desk. Well, maybe the person that was at the front desk was having a baby or something, and they were at the hospital, you know. And so that person that was there might not have known that. But then when they said, oh, I was waiting there for, 20 minutes at the for some towels or something. And then the business owner could write and says, oh, I'm so sorry. There was an accident or something was happening. It's like, please, we'll offer you, some kind of a coupon or whatever, like a free breakfast the next day. And then if you make amends on that situation, the person can be like, oh, well, I didn't know that. I'm more than happy to, change my review. And we've seen that quite a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like you're not bribing or anything like that.
Still on the negative review, let's talk about the tone that, let's say you're not making a call to the person, to your customer, but you're responding online in this very same platform that they've posted on. What sort of tone? What are the considerations for the tone and stuff that one needs to take?
I would be as neutral as you can be, and then just be as polite and as dignified as you can be. Because when people are reading the negative reviews, they always look at the reply too. And so it's important to see, like, is this person being unreasonable? Sometimes people do have valid excuses. A common one to say, it was New Year's, it's like, oh, well, there was fireworks and it was keeping me up all night. That has nothing to do with the business owner. So the business owner could say, well, it was New Year's or it was some national holiday, and that's why it was loud, and we apologize for that. But people can see then, it's like, well, this guest is just being unreasonable. It was New Year's. What did they expect? And so that's important to sort of lay out that your counter argument or your response to a negative review.
Of course, to the positive ones.
Equally is important. Yeah, just say, oh, thank you so much. It's always good to acknowledge your praise, and also it's important to see what you're doing right too. And one thing I didn't mention was if somebody leaves you a bad review, it's important to sort of address that, because it's likely that there's other people that have been thinking it, and it's an opportunity to make your business better. So it's important to take those comments and feedback and then build those, into your into some way of correcting your business to make it better. So it's an opportunity, either positive or negative, to make your business better.
Okay. So would you recommend that, you know, you respond to all reviews, whether positive or negative, and every single one of them, and regardless of time constraints, you know, factor that into consideration?
Yes, I think, you know, if you can assign someone, like sometimes you might have a front desk girl that has some extra time and she can go through. If somebody has a one, if you have like, you know, reviews are pretty, they come in few and far between, unless you're like a, you know, 1,000-room hotel or something. You know, most of the time, small businesses are getting like one or two a month. I think it's important to just sort of acknowledge, so just say, write a quick thank you and say, oh, thank you so much. And, you know, just acknowledge that person. And it'll encourage, people like to be appreciated. You know, if they do something nice for you, they like to be acknowledged and appreciated.
Another thing I want to ask you, George, is where best to have reviews placed, or do you select multiple options? And what are those options? What are those platforms that we can use to have customer reviews?
Well, in terms of search and organic search, I think Google is the best. So it depends on where some businesses may not really use Google that much. Maybe the most of their business is done through Instagram or Facebook. These would probably be really small businesses. If most of your communication is done with your clients through Facebook, then obviously you want to concentrate on Facebook. And so the one thing that we recommend is that you don't dilute your efforts. So you don't say you go to Google and then the next time you go to Facebook for a different client. We say, you know, focus and do like a concentrated campaign to build whichever page review platform that you're trying to build, and get it up so that it's like that, you know, sort of in the top sort of four in your market. So, and then you can focus on a different platform. So, but Google is the one that we tell our clients to focus on, because it's the one that, you know, if you're searching for a hair salon or something in your market, the first thing that will come up are there's three businesses with reviews that kind of pop up on the top of the search results. And if you can rank high there, you can get a lot of business from that.
So you mentioned Google and Facebook, but what are some of the other platforms that persons can think of? And maybe you can relate it to what business would be more appropriate for those platforms.
Sure. So TripAdvisor is important. And that would be this like travel related businesses. So it could be like tours or hotels, Airbnb ones. You can, you know, there's reviews in that platform as well. Those are important. Now there's some new ones popping up for like more software related businesses, which is like Capterra and G2. Those are some other platforms that you know, depends on what your business. Not sure who your audience is, but those ones are becoming quite important.
Okay. So we're talking to entrepreneurs who have a myriad of different types of business, and that's who we're talking with. Where in Google do you set up? What do you set up to get that review page going?
Yeah, it's called Google My Business. And so for the owner, the business owner, you can go and go through. It's pretty easy. I've done it myself a few times. You go through and you just sort of, you know, give your local address and write down a description, what your business is, your business hours. And then they ask you to claim the business. So if you have an address, there is some verification that's involved. And usually it's like texting to the local phone. And some, I believe they were even sending postcards just to verify that if they mail a postcard. I'm not sure if they're doing that. When I did it, I didn't have to do it. So, but I heard that they used to do that. So that's essentially the Google setup. If you're leaving a review, it's as a customer, it's easy to do. You just come there and you should have a Google account at least. And most people probably already have Gmail or some kind of way, Google login. And then you just click write a review. They ask you to log in and then you just, you know, hit your star rating and write some kind of review for that business.
Mm-hmm. So, George, in our final segment, I want to ask you to just share, you know, something about reviews and how we can help businesses and why. And I know we've started that. We've said some of that before, but if you will, just go ahead and give your final thoughts on reviews.
Sure. Yeah. So, if you're having trouble on getting reviews, I encourage you to ask people, because you'd be surprised at how much people are willing to leave reviews. And if you don't, the problem again, as I had stated, is most of the people that want to write reviews are the ones that had a bad experience. So you want to try and outweigh those. Because if you're a successful business, 8 out of 9 people should be enjoying. 8 out of 10 people should be enjoying your business, and you're always going to have the 1 or 2 sort of bad experiences. But if you don't ask the other 8, they may not leave a review for your business, and your business could suffer. So, and you can imagine how quickly, if you have a bad review, you start losing business. You can keep asking and push that bad review down, and then it just sort of dilutes its effects. So that's what I would encourage people to do. And of course, the best way to do that is, if you can, is automating that process.
So you did mention you have a free consultation to share to the listeners. So I'd love for you to share that, as well as to share how persons may get in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. So you can get on our onestopdevshop.io. There's a button for book a call. And that's really I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years, and I'm happy to sort of talk through any ideas that people may have, and especially software related. I build my own software companies, and I build other people's companies, and I've gotten pretty good at knowing what's a viable business idea. So if anyone has some software ideas and they want to talk about it, I'd love to hear from them.
Ah, sounds good. Excellent. And you've already given us where we can contact you. Thank you, George Wardman, for stopping by the Entrepreneurial You today.
Thank you so much for having me, Hanika.
And thank you, my peak performer, for tuning in to this episode of the Entrepreneurial You podcast with George Wardman. I certainly look forward to connecting with you next week. And of course, you know where you can contact me if you need to reach me before, if you want to get my books, whatever you want. Blogs, whatever, HenikaWatkisPorter.com. Podcast Power, the quick start guide to launching and leveling up your brand, is available on Amazon as well as on my website. So go get it, go fetch it, go learn to start your podcast, especially in this season, that you can make a difference. You can let your voice be heard, and so many other perks as you build your brand. Let me share my point of hope for this week. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Walk good.